At least those of you who remember to set your clocks last night. I think we're ready to rock and roll. Oh, you guys don't do that here, do you?
Just Eddie.
Yeah, well, I knew that. Okay, let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for another Lord's Day. What gifts these Lord's Days are to us. May we value and treasure and use them well. Thank you for being with us through our study, and as we draw near to the end, we pray that you would help us once again. Our dependence is all upon you, and all of us, parents and teacher alike, feel our frailty and our weakness, and will you help us? You give grace to the humble. Will you keep us in that place of humility? And may grace come. May it come now today in these moments together. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we want to cover the massive and complex issue of technology, especially as it relates to our children. Okay, we're done. Anybody have any questions? We've said often in this class that we need wisdom and courage to fulfill our role as parents in this day and age, and that is especially true when it comes to the subject of technology. It is undeniably complex, calls for large measures of wisdom and courage. It calls for large measures of patience and love toward those who work out their convictions on technology a little differently than we do. And it won't all be the same, okay? But we know where to find wisdom and help. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom
for parenting.
So stay in that place of humility, and wisdom comes. If any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. The explosion over the last several years in the whole realm of technology. The kids at school, when I was still teaching at school, the kids at school would laugh when I'd tell them that I never had one of these. Or talk about a VHS tape. Huh? What's that? Or if you want to go back even farther, how many of you guys know 8-track tapes? Yeah, you got. I mean, reel to reel. My first tape recorder was a reel to reel. And I loved recording classical music on that thing. And when we first, right after we got married and we moved into our first tiny little itty bitty house in Greenville, South Carolina, we're unloading all our stuff out of our car, setting up housekeeping, and I set up a shelf and I set up my reel to reel. That was a what? A reel to reel. It has exploded in the last several years. But specifically with reference to social media, video games, and the almost universal access just about anybody can have to those platforms, all of that should give all of us pause. Our radar must be up, especially for our children and young people. Our courage must be strengthened. Our wisdom must be biblically informed. And our convictions, especially with regard to the images and words both we and our children are taking in and putting out. That was a long sentence. Our convictions must be unwaveringly grounded in the clear statements and unavoidable implications of Scripture. That's easy to say and even to agree with. But when it comes to implementing those convictions in our homes and with our children, without alienating them and without provoking them to anger, it can be really, really difficult. That's why it's so critically important to see our parenting. I hope you guys don't get tired of me saying this, because I've said it a dozen times already, and I'm going to say it again. That's why we need to see our parenting as a whole package, and not just drawing a few lines in the sand here or there. Our children have got to know and sense that we have close, intimate relationships of unconditional love with them. We must know them well. We must spend time with each one of them. We must listen to them, be available to them, intercede for them. And all the stuff we've talked about in the last 8 weeks, this is week number 9. Parenting is the whole package. And if we get to the critical stuff about technology, and we've shortchanged our kids on the whole package, this may not sit very well with them, because we're just drawing another line in the sand. So take all of this in the context of the whole course of things we've talked about with parenting. This is also where the curse of a double standard will completely undermine what we are trying to do with our children when it comes to their use of technology. Don't think that they don't know when we are addicted to technology. Don't think that we can slip that by them. When we require certain time limits and things of them and their use of technology, and we're on a whole different page. Okay, now I get it that if I put a 5-minute time limit on my 6-year-old for some particular game or activity, 5 minutes is really pretty short, okay, I'm just illustrating. Does that mean I can only spend 5 minutes on it? Not necessarily so. But do you understand the problem we run into if we are addicted to technology and we're trying to tell our kids not to be? We've got to be really careful. All right, before we jump into some details here, let me give you some clear biblical statements that have a direct bearing on our use of and involvement with technology. And I'm setting these up at the front end of this, because I want this to inform our thinking all the way through. And some of these will make more sense as we go down through some of the issues we have with technology. Okay, so, and I'm not going to comment on these. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, I just lied. I'm going to make a comment. It is so easy to say things here that you would never say here. So is it wrong to take this text and say, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your phone? Where do your words come from? Out of the heart. The mouth speaks. So whether the word actually audibly sounds out of your lips, it sounds out of here. Okay? All right, I'm going to try not to comment anymore because we've got to keep moving. Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It has a critical bearing on our use of technology. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Romans 8:5-7, the heart of that is the mindset on the flesh is death, and it is hostile to God. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed. And last two words, be still. That's gone. He leads me beside quiet waters. My soul wait in silence for God only. There is an appointed time for everything, a time to be silent. But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. I really wanted to start talking about all those texts and what they have to do with technology, but I hope you see how these principles bear on our use of technology. Our kids are inundated with noise. And the Bible is calling us to be quiet. Not 24/7 quiet, okay? But we whatever happened to the grace of silence and solitude? That's like a relic. So may these principles undergird and guide us as we work through some of the stuff about technology. And I'm going to give you a lot of information and a lot of what I've got down here in some handouts that I'll say something about in a few minutes. Let me say something first about the blessing technology is. It is a good gift from God and can be harnessed for good and holy purposes. Did you hear me say that? Technology is a good gift from God. What makes technology work was in the universe the moment God spoke it into being. It just took us this long to find it. Right? The technology was there. It just took us a long time to find it. It's a good gift from God. It has been a huge help in translating the Bible into languages where it's never gone. Pastors in remote places with limited resources can have entire libraries on a thumb drive. What a blessing that is. That is huge. Missionaries can have contact with family and friends and other missionaries a world away. Technology can be a wonderful evangelistic tool. It can be used as a good communication tool. It doesn't have to be abused. It was a helpful tool in the pandemic. Wasn't it? Yeah. It's a blessing to shut-ins and those who are providentially hindered from gathering on the Lord's Day. It's not a replacement for the Lord's Day. Hello? Okay? It can be a great learning tool. We have tons of helpful information at our fingertips. How many of you have looked up something medical in the last month? And you didn't even have to go to the doctor's office. Wow, that's pretty cool. It has been immensely helpful in the medical field. We can have live conversations with friends and loved ones on the other side of the world. My son is in Switzerland. He preached this morning in Switzerland. It's this afternoon now in Switzerland with a missionary called Tim Wenger. And he's sending me pictures from Switzerland. He's a pastor in Warsaw, Indiana, and he says, we're going to relocate our church to Switzerland. Just kidding. And he's there, and I saw pictures within hours of where he was. That's pretty cool. But for all of the benefits and the blessing technology is, we're going to spend most of our time talking about the challenges we're up against. The challenges we face, everybody's got one. How many of you heard your kids say that? Everybody's got one. Everybody's going to be there. Everybody, blah, blah, blah. And usually everybody is one or two or three. It's not everybody. Excuse me. But now when your child comes home and says, everybody's got a phone. He's right. Just about everybody's got a phone. The availability of social media is massive. I'm going to inundate you with stats, okay? And I hope you'll indulge me because we've got to understand this. 95%. Okay, hang on just one second. I might have a slide out of order here. Okay, I'm going to come back. I'll have to go backwards. 95% of 13 to 17-year-olds have a smartphone or access to one. Does that rattle your cage at all? Teens spend up to 9 hours a day on social media, ages 13 to 17. And these stats are pretty consistent across lots of different sources, okay? I didn't just took the first one I found. I checked two or three or sometimes four different places, and they're all pretty consistent. Kids 8 to 12 spend up to 6 hours a day on social media. Under 8 years, up to 2.5 hours a day. 400 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute. YouTube is the go-to site for 85% of teenagers. Worldwide active users. The world's most used social platforms. This has to, and I know you can't read that. I just want to get the whole graph on here and I'll tell you what's on it. These are worldwide active users. Facebook has 2.91 billion active users. Not just people who signed up for Facebook, but active users. Almost 3 billion. YouTube, 2.56 billion. Instagram, 1.48 billion. TikTok, 1 billion. Snapchat, 500 million active users worldwide. I don't know if that leaves very many people on the planet. That's a lot of people. Wow. So I'm talking about here just the presence, the availability of social media. It's massive. That's a huge challenge for us. There's also the challenge of a new level of parental involvement. If our children are to enter the supercharged atmosphere of technological wonder, it is just going to require more of us on many levels. It is. Do y'all hear me say that? It is going to require more of us if our kids are going to make their way safely through this supercharged atmosphere. It's a book I recommend toward the end of our time called Screen Kids. It's from, I found it on Focus on the Family. It's a very helpful book. And let me give you a quote from Screen Kids. We must begin this journey, we parents must begin this journey with the decision to put our children before our devices. This is a very specific application of a new level of parental involvement, okay? It's time to treat our kids with more respect and attention than we give our phones. And we must fight for our kids to experience childhood before experiencing devices. A real childhood is filled with play, books, skin, knees, adventures, and imagination, not just sitting, swiping, and tapping. Kids stop looking up and around at the world in curiosity. Their heads go down and stay down. That's going to require more of us for our kids to experience real childhood. Don't forget that our children are still children, fallen, sinful children whose discernment is still that of a child. And even our teenagers are not seasoned, veteran discerners, and in some ways are even more susceptible to the lure of what is impure and unholy and right at their fingertips. So there's the challenge of a new level of parental involvement. There's the whole issue of pornography. An industry that used to be relatively hidden. You had to look for it, and now it looks for you. 12 to 17-year-olds is the largest group of internet porn users. Just let that sink in for a second. 12 to 17. 90% of boys and 70% of girls younger than 18 admit to having seen pornography at least once. 32% of teens admit to intentionally seeking out pornographic content online. Pornography sites have more traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Teen girls are more likely to seek out pornography than young women 25 and older. 64% of people aged 13 to 24 view pornography at least weekly. 49% of young people first viewed pornography before age 13. The FBI reports a 2,000% increase in the number of child pornography images on the internet since 1996. So in 1996, if there was one, today there are 2,000. And there was a whole lot more than one in 1996. It is projected that virtual reality porn should be a $1 billion business by the year 2025. It is the avenue sexual predators patrol looking for your children. One in five children between 10 and 17 have been approached online for sex. The relative innocence of our children now is a huge target painted on its back, and there's a whole world of people out there taking target practice on our kids. A 37-year-old mom, this was 2 years ago, 37-year-old mom got really busy and did makeup, hair, clothes, used a little Photoshop, and presented herself online, posted a picture on Facebook as an 11-year-old girl. Within 2.5 hours, she had dozens of contacts from men who sent pictures of parts of themselves that is inappropriate to mention. In 2.5 hours, she had dozens. They're out there looking, and they're looking for your children. Cyberbullies pursue their prey with greater venom than ever before under the cover of relative anonymity. One in four teenagers has been the victim of cyberbullying. One in six teenagers has done it to somebody else because it's so much easier to say something here than it is here. The addictive nature of much of this technology is screaming at us. And we're not always listening. Why is it so hard to disengage from screen time? Let me give you several reasons why it's hard to disengage from screen time. There are no stopping cues. There are no stopping cues. You know what a stopping cue is? We're done. This is over. Okay? Old TV episodes played once a week, and when it was over. Right? And you turned off that episode of Little Rascals, and you went out to try some of the dumb things they did. Y'all remember the Little Rascals? Remember Gunsmoke? Remember Lassie? I'm not speaking a foreign language here. Yes, I have one taker in the back. It was 30. My Three Sons. Father Knows Best. Yeah. What? Rifleman. Who was the star of Rifleman? Chuck Connor. And he had that lever action rifle with a big old loop on that lever. See, I'm forgetting everything. But they, one episode a week was over. Even old video games used to say this. Game over. Move on. Go outside. Make your bed. Do the dishes. Finish the chores. Game over. Not anymore. Games automatically start over. YouTube, when what you selected is over, what happens? Another one automatically starts. Boom. And you can see the little thing filling up when it's about to start. There it goes. You can scroll for hours on social media and not find a stopping point. It is bottomless. You know, you start scrolling through Facebook. I've done it. And the feed never stops. You don't get out of a certain point and say, that's enough. Game over. There are no stopping cues. And we need stopping cues. Don't we? It's time to stop. It's time to move on. Screens are all about rewards and goals. The rewards in video games are first relatively small or random, but they keep you playing for more. Another ding. Another weapon. Another race. Another level. Another life. Then the rewards gradually get farther apart, but by that time you're hooked and you've got to get to the next one and it takes you longer. But it doesn't matter. You just keep playing for hours on end because you've got to get to the next level. And guess what? There is always a next level. There is always a next level. Screens, step into the power of goals. Launch the bird, save the princess, collect the treasure, shoot the enemy, destroy the target, win the race, beat the score of some kid, a continent, in a way that you don't even know. But his name is up there and he's got more points than you've got. Not on my watch. Real life goals disappear in the clutter of screen goals. Finish your homework, practice the piano, mow the yard, rake the leaves, put the dishes away. Screens have the ability to hijack good goals by giving your kids artificial and inferior goals. Screens compete against real life goals that are so much more satisfying than a ding or another level. A recent study by the National Institutes of Health of almost 12,000 children revealed the following. MRI scans found significant differences in the brains of children who reported using smartphones, tablets, and video games more than 7 hours a day than those who don't. Shows up on an MRI of your brain. Spending more than 2 hours a day on screens resulted in lower scores on thinking and language tests. Kids with a lot of screen time showed a premature thinning of the cerebral cortex, that part of the brain that processes information from the five senses. That part of the brain starts to decline prematurely without your senses interacting with the real world. That happens naturally as we get older. I probably got the thinnest cerebral cortex in this room. It just naturally happens. But it happens prematurely in our kids, who are glued to a screen for so many hours a day. Without our senses interacting with the real world, that begins to happen prematurely. Studies have been done that compare the brain scans of kids who spend 20 hours a week or more on video games with the brain scans of people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol. Their brain scans are similar. Smartphone screens light up the same areas of the brain as opioids. Electronic screens act like a stimulant, causing the stress hormone cortisol to rise. Cortisol prepares you to deal with an emergency. It's the fight or flight hormone. The problem is there's no real emergency. There's all this overstimulation and nothing is going on but watching the screen. And your brain is pumping out this stuff right and left. You've heard about the blue light given off by screens. Familiar? That's a signal to your child's brain that it's daylight. even in the middle of the night. It releases melatonin. It suppresses melatonin, the hormone needed for sleep. Blue light suppresses melatonin, and so our kids are spending too much sleep time on their screens, are noticeably cranky and irritable. They have a hard time sleeping. This is from the Mayo Clinic, November of 2021, just a few months ago. The reward center in the brain releases dopamine in response to a pleasurable experience or hyperarousal. You're really cranked up. If a person experiences hyperarousal while playing video games, the brain associates the activity with dopamine. The person develops a strong drive to seek out that same pleasure again and again. It's addictive. Dopamine is a powerful neurotransmitter in the brain. It helps sustain people's interest and attention, which is why it can be hard for people to tear themselves away from a situation or behavior. It's self-reinforcing. The more times people experience the behavior, the more dopamine is released and the more driven they are to return to the behavior. That's how addiction works. And so I've got to get back to this. I've got to get back to this. That was an image for blue light, keeping up at night. Another challenge, communication has changed. Everything about communication, from the amount, the nature, the speed, the vocab, the urgency, it is all different. Did anybody read Zitz? Okay. You need to read Zitz. I still get the newspaper, okay? Sorry. Newspapers. There was a front page and a back page, and you were done. Stopping cue. Okay, Jeremy, I was looking at your Facebook page today, and I... What? Why? How dare you? Look at my Facebook page. Mom, Facebook is for social networking. We live in the same house. You know what's coming next? If you have something to say, just text me. It's true. On a very large scale. You guys are all better than that, okay? But it's true. Communication has changed. How we function as a society has changed. So many social gatherings take place and nobody's there in the room with you. They're just on the screen. They're in cyberspace. Parents used to buy cell phones for their kids so they could keep in touch. And now texting, surfing, and social networking have shut down communication with the very people they were trying to stay in touch with. Some parents can barely get their kids' attention away from this. And some kids can barely get their parents' attention away from this. Rudeness is on the rise in families. Remember what we used to say about somebody who whispered to somebody else in the presence of other people? We used to say that's rude. But now when you pick up Johnny or Susan from school, as soon as they're in the car, they're texting away like crazy, whispering right in front of you. Texting and social networking have changed the nature of friendship and relationships. He had over 2,000 Facebook friends. I was expecting a bigger turnout. Can you see what that is? It's a funeral. And there are two people sitting in chairs. We have 2,000 Facebook friends. Relationships have changed, how they're established, maintained, and ended. You can now be friends with people you've never seen or don't even know. You can be rude and crude much more easily. If a tech-savvy 20-something walked into a church service where Pastor Sam or Pastor Ben or Pastor Joe were preaching on the one another statements of the New Testament, describing some of the practical outworkings of loving one another, he would most likely be altogether clueless. Extended conversations are on the endangered species list. We're going to lose the benefit of thought-provoking, stimulating, encouraging, helpful conversations because we won't know how to communicate in anything but short bursts of abbreviated words. What's that going to do to preaching over the next 5 years when we're trying to get the... I lose track of what generation is which, okay? The Gen Zs or the Gen Xers or whoever it is that's right smack in the middle of all this stuff, when those people walk into church, can they sit and listen and follow a 45-minute discourse on the most important thing they will ever hear in their lives? Last time I checked, Pastor Sam wasn't speaking in four-letter abbreviations. Those things pop up and I say, what is that? I got to look them up. Extended conversations are on the endangered species list. The use of technology is another challenge. The use of technology is making it harder for our young people to be content. The more time you spend on social media, the more you see what other people are doing, where they are, who they're with, and the temptation is to be unhappy with where you are and who you are with and what you are doing, because what they're doing always seems better. And the use of technology can lead to an increasing discomfort with silence and solitude, which takes only a moment's reflection to conclude that you could have, that could have a serious impact on spending time alone with God, your Bible, and your own heart. So what are we to do? What we don't do is overreact and ban all technology from our homes. The technology is not evil. It's the way we sinners use it. I thought of illustrating that with gun control, but I don't think I will. I just did. It's not this, it's this. So the solution, at least for those who are converted, begins at the cross, where we take all our own great weakness, our proneness to worship idols, our lack of self-control, our all too frequent love of the world and its things, and we beg God for forgiveness and cleansing and fresh grace to not be mastered by anything. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul had no idea that these would be such an issue. But this didn't take God by surprise. And so he put this in here for us. I will not be mastered by anything. And then we put some practical results to that prayer for ourselves and our children. Did you hear what I said? We put practical resolves in place for ourselves and our children. We must lead the way. Remember Ephesians, way back early in our study? Bring them up. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way. So we put them in place for us and for our children. This is not rocket science, okay? You establish limits just like you've established other rules for your household. There should be time limits for computer and video game, texting, social networking, use of... There should be time limits. And how that's going to look different in, it's not going to look the same in every household, okay? And the time limits may not be the same. That's okay. You've got to establish the time limits that are appropriate for your family and your children and your the context of your own home. But there should be time limits for computer, video game, texting, social networking opportunities. How you do that, there are 1,000 different ways to do that, but do it. Whether you've got popsicle sticks and every popsicle stick represents 10 minutes and they get so many popsicle sticks in their jar for the day. And once they've used up 10 minutes, the popsicle stick is over here. And another 10 minutes, and when they're out of popsicle sticks, that's the stopping cue. It's over. And you don't put them back in the other jar until the next day. Whatever works for you. Timers, you figure it out. But put time limits on the use of technology. There need to be priorities established. What comes first, homework, chores, video games? Is it more important to text your friends or talk with your parents about your day at school? Establish priorities for your home and stick to them like Gorilla Glue. If your child has a computer or any piece of technology, be sure it is located where the screen can be easily seen by others, and guess what? That is not in their bedroom. It needs to be in a wide open space. That screen needs to be in a wide open space. That screen needs to be in a wide open space. Hello? That screen needs to be in a wide open space. How many kids have done this when mom or dad walks by? Please come back. Thank you. Hello? Okay. If they have an email account, you have their personal password and the freedom to read any incoming or outgoing mail. If they have a phone, you teach them that that phone is first God's, second, it is yours, the parent, and third, it is theirs. Having the phone or computer is a privilege, it's not a right, and that item can be taken away. It means you have access to their text messaging. You need to have some sort of filtering software installed on your computer and your devices. More on that in a moment. Man, it's only 8:59. I got another hour. You need to spend some time teaching your children what to do and not to do with their phones or computers. There are certain kinds of information you never, 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 never give out over the internet. Our kids don't automatically know that. Okay? The 37-year-old mom portrayed as an 11-year-old girl. She put something out there. What she put out there on the internet was, I'm looking forward to being at Carly's party on Friday night. ILYSM. I love you so much. I had to look that one up. And in 2 hours, she was inundated with sexual predators. Be so careful what you put out on the internet. You've got to teach your kids how to do that. Know what music. You ought to know what music is on your child's iPods or phones. Boy, now that's hard. Okay? But do all their songs come through your iTunes account? And I know we've got streaming services now, you know, the Spotify and Pandora and who knows what else. But we ought to find a way to monitor what our children are listening to. It's not all healthy. Can they download apps on their phones on their own, or do they have to come to you for the password? Can they access the internet generally or only sites that have not been blocked by you? Do they have access to your computer or phone when you're not using it? And can they get on the internet without having to enter a password? Do your kids keep their phones with them at night, or do they turn them into you when they go to bed? I sure hope they turn them into you. Because if they don't, they're going to be on them. Are they allowed to bring their phones to the dinner table with them? Do you bring yours? How many of you have been in a restaurant and watched a young couple on a date? Or even a married couple, and they're sitting there, absorbed in... They're sitting there absorbed in their phones. Ask some very basic questions. Is your media diet making you spiritually healthy or sick? This is from an article I've got copies of down here that I found on the Gospel Coalition website just a few days ago, March the 9th. Is your media diet making you spiritually healthy or sick? Are you consuming too much media? Picking up our screens is now our default setting. We've been conditioned. If somebody asks you what are the foremost spiritual disciplines, we would say prayer, Bible reading, corporate worship, family worship, meditation. The next one on the list needs to be put your phone down. That's a spiritual discipline. Put your phone down. Is your media consumption helping you to engage with and love God more? Is it helping you to engage with and love your neighbor more? There are a number of... Those are pretty penetrating questions. We need to think about them. There are a number of filtering, blocking programs available that can be installed on your computers, iPads, or mobile devices. NetNanny is $55 a year. I read a review just the other day that says NetNanny's not been updated for a while. NetNanny's on my computer and my phone. It's a good program. It probably needs to be updated just a bit. One I never heard of is called Bark. I've got a handout on Bark up here. It's and the website is on the first page of the handout. It's bark.us. That has huge capabilities. It's you get a pretty good discount if you pay yearly for Bark. It's $99 a year. There's one called MSpy. That is more pricey, $144 for the first year, $200 for the second year and on. Covenant Eyes, $17 a month. Covenant Eyes is an accountability type of program. You pick an accountability partner and they're signed up on your Covenant Eyes account. And if something questionable pops up on your computer, they get notified so that they can say, hey, brother, I saw something pop up the other day we need to talk about. Some other resources. The book I mentioned earlier, Gary Chapman and Arlene Pelican. Gary Chapman is the guy that talked about love languages. Okay, this is a really helpful book. It's not very long, and it's short. And they even have a version of this for grandparents, in light of a question you asked me before class today. So you can look that up online. Screen Kids. Do a search for technology on Tim Challey's website. Tim Challey's has some wonderful stuff out there. Just go to his website, find a little search box and type in technology and you get lots of articles, either by him or by people that he recommended. Focus on the Family has a lot of resources available. We're not on the same page theologically as all the stuff that comes from Focus on the Family, but they've got lots and lots of help on stuff like this. So take advantage of that. Has anybody ever listened on a Saturday to the Kim Komando show? Anybody? She's a high-tech guru. She's got a call-in radio program. And I don't know everything she says, but she's got lots of practical, detailed kind of stuff. And I've got a handout from her show on different ways you can work just with your phone to protect your kids. There's stuff built into these things that I didn't know about a lot of that stuff. So there's a handout here from the Kim Komando Show from her website. Okay, this is my last comment, and we got to go. You say, I can't afford to spend that kind of time monitoring my children's use of technology. You can't afford not to. But I can't learn all that stuff about smartphones and computers and iPads. You can't afford not to. The souls of our children are at stake. And while it's perfectly legitimate for some things to be appropriate for adults that are not for children, we as parents must set the bar high in our own use of technology so that our children are not getting mixed messages from us on this critical issue. We desperately want our children to be converted. They desperately want our children to go to hell. What are you going to do? Protect your children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of technology. Make us better stewards than we have ever been of that gift. And protect our children. Give us, as parents and grandparents, give us grace and wisdom and strength and courage and help to do all that we can do to guide our children through this complex maze that is full of pitfalls. So will you help us? Our children are so blessed. They have been surrounded with the means of grace. Will you bless those means to their conversion? Save our children. Protect our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.